Good afternoon, everybody. Hello, hello. This is Eileen Grimes, and this is the Jupiter Rising Show. And I just want to say to everybody out there, happy Easter. It's a lovely day. Well, not really. Looking outside at the moment, it's kind of icky, but it's still a lovely day. And I just want to send out a congratulations and a high five to the Washington basketball team, the women's basketball team who have made the Final Four. You probably heard that earlier right here on KKNW. So I just wanted to throw those two things out there and congratulate the team and also to wish you all happy Easter. Okay, so today on the show, we've got some really interesting things going on. We first have our Astro Celebrity of the Week, who I'm not going to tell you about, but you'll know who it is in a couple minutes. And then also, we're going to talk a little bit about the aftermath of this the eclipse that just happened on Wednesday. So that's just kind of interesting, too, because every time eclipses come up every 6 months, twice a year, there's always something that happens in the news or something that happens that it can have the effect of turning the planet on its ear. Well, I don't know about on its ear, but it's certainly been a rather difficult week in a lot of ways. So, and then we're going to bring on our special guest, who is Ms. Tammy Locke, and I'm going to tell you about a little bit more about her after we take this very quick break. And so, let's take the break right now, okay? Okay. So, we're going to take a break, and after this, we're going to do the Astro Celebrity of the Week. This is the Jupiter Rising Show on KKNW Alternative Talk Radio.
Alternative Talk 1150. We're on your radio at 1150 AM. We're on your HD radio at 98.9 Channel 3.
So many ways to listen.
We're on the web at 1150kknw.com. Streaming live audio and video as well as MP3 archives of many of our shows.
So many ways to listen.
And now, we're on your smartphone or tablet. Download our free app in the Apple App Store or Google Play and take Alternative Talk 1150 anywhere you go.
So many ways to listen.
Another year has come and gone. Are you wondering what the future holds? Are you struggling with the decision about love, money, your career, your family? StarPsychics.com, that's stars with a Z, has the answers you desire. StarPsychics.com is the best and brightest advisor site on the internet, staffed by top-rated, professional, fully tested, and certified advisors. This is the real deal. At StarPsychics.com, you create your own personal account, and you pick your advisor by reading their extensive bios. Then you decide on a budget that you are comfortable with. Your pathway to a clearer and brighter future is just a few clicks away. No gimmicks, no bait and switch. StarPsychics.com has daily blogs and lots of links to help you develop your own intuition. Log on now. That's StarPsychics.com. Remember, stars with a Z. And here's the best part. They're available 24/7. StarPsychics.com. Remember, stars with a Z. You must be 18 years or older. Your future awaits.
Barbara Payton reached the pinnacle of Hollywood success in 1950. Blonde and beautiful, her libido was robust, her taste ribald, and her lovers were a who's who of Hollywood leading men. From Bob Hope, Marlon Brando, and Gregory Peck to dozens of lesser lights in between, her talent was promising, but her lifestyle and liaisons were a feast for the tabloids. By age 27, the joyride was over. Barbara Payton had plunged from Warner Brothers superstardom, earning $10,000 a week, to utter destitution and ruin, turning tricks for $5 on the Sunset Strip. John O'Dowd's amazing book, Kiss Tomorrow Goodbye, The Barbara Payton Story, captures her breathtaking rise, her reckless hedonism, and her shocking descent into a hell on earth. A new, huge second edition of the book has just been released by Bear Manor Media, and a screenplay based on the book, titled Fast Fade, by writer Linda Boroff, is currently in development in Los Angeles. Kiss Tomorrow Goodbye can be purchased online at Amazon.com and at Bear Manor Media's website at www.bearmanormedia.com.
Going against the grain has never been so much fun. Alternative Talk, 1150 AM.
We'll be right back. And welcome back to Jupiter Rising. This is the segment that we typically call the Astro Celebrity of the Week. There's always something going on somewhere in Hollywood or some sort of celebrity that has maybe reached front and center at the top of the bowl, and we have to take a look and see who this person is and was or whatever. And this person this week, unfortunately, we are picking on Gary Shandling, and he just passed away 3 days ago, and it was really, really rather sudden. And so I decided, well, let's take a look at his birth chart and see what happened. So he was a Sagittarius. And the sun in the ninth, so is Mercury. And so, interestingly enough, for those of you who know about astrology, this is the symbol Chiron. Chiron is called the wounded healer. It looks like a key in the chart. And usually, wherever, if I ever want to know where a person's wounds are, a person who feels like they've got an Achilles heel or something that is a weak point in their whole psyche, I want to look at Chiron, because Chiron shows us a lot about, first of all, what the wound may have been, and also, flip side of that, is what's going to heal the wound. So Chiron in mythology was this man who was immortal, and he got wounded in the heel. I believe the Achilles heel thing was probably applicable here. And so he was told that in order to pay penance or redeem himself from the wound that he had, he would have to go out and heal people. So he had to do that the rest of his natural life. And so Chiron in our birth chart was, Chiron was discovered in 1977. It's actually, they first of all thought it was an asteroid, then they thought it was something else, and they kind of came up with the idea that it was a comet. And the comet is somewhere between Saturn and Uranus's orbit. And so the interesting thing about Chiron is that it embodies points of Saturn and Uranus, both. So because Saturn usually implies where that's where the wound is, the wound, something that we just feel really rather icky about, and we would just rather not deal with that. And then Uranus is what breaks you out of the wound and breaks you out of a pattern. So Chiron in his chart was sitting right next to his sun and his Mercury. So the effect that he had on people, which I kind of I read up this week about, especially someone named Conan O'Brien, who is the late night talk host, and he'd spend many, many hours with Gary Shandling, and he said he had an effect of a sort of a philosopher. Well, that's the Sagittarius, but also had the effect of a teacher, mentor, something like that, that actually healed him so that he could go on and do what he had to do. So Gary Shandling had this effect very much on many people, and he had I think, quite a stable of people underneath him who not necessarily studied with him, but looked up to him for guidance. And he was just very practical, down to earth, kind of low key, almost kind of monotone, but you know, there was a very funny aspect about him. So, and I find it also interesting that he never married in his life, and I had to look at that. So what's going on here? So I said, well, okay, there's a Venus in Capricorn. Now, Venus is a relationship planet, tells us exactly how we want and need relationships. And a Venus in Capricorn is in the 11th house, which have to do with maybe he'd have to be friends first with the person. And then also in his 7th house, which is related to Venus, which is the house of marriage and partnerships, he had Saturn in there. So I find it sort of a double whammy there of Saturnian sort of relationship, which generally takes place if somebody hasn't married by whatever. They're probably going to wait till later in life until they actually marry somebody or settle down with somebody. And he was 66 and he had never married. So I kind of think, well, you know, maybe had he lived longer, he may have settled down when he was older and married somebody that he was very comfortable with. And so, yeah, I just kind of thought he was an interesting person. He had an Aquarius rising, which made him very unusual. And he was somebody who definitely couldn't be pigeonholed ever. And also, he had an Aries moon, which means he sort of, you know, kind of knew what he had to do for himself and also probably put himself first out there. So Anyway, what I found the most interesting, though, was his Sagittarius business. You know, Sagittarius is ruled by Jupiter, of course, our favorite planet here on the Jupiter Rising Show. And he was uplifting and inspiring to so many people. And I wish him peace, and I tell him to rest in peace. And I hope that he goes on to do better things. But it's really sad. He was taken out very suddenly. So maybe we can thank God for that. So that's Gary Shandling for the week. That's our celebrity for the week. And before we bring on our guest, I just want to make mention that the Earthly Oasis has yoga classes. Yes, sirree, yoga. And those classes happen on Monday and Wednesdays at 10 a.m. and then Thursdays at 6:30 p.m. And Frances Allman, who is a fabulous gal, and she's a fantastically well-trained yoga master. So she will take you through those classes and help you get all spiffed up. So that's at the Earthly Oasis, and the address is 12202 Pacific Avenue. That's in Tacoma, Washington. And the phone number is 253-212-9956. And now we're going to bring on our star of the hour, and that is Ms. Tammy Locke. She is I'll tell you, I have to talk to you about when I met her, but I met her on Facebook, and I was so thrilled because she was on a favorite show of mine back in the 1960s called The Monroes, and I've kind of looked at her from afar with admiration, and then we turn out to be friends, so who knew? So, Tammy, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Eileen.
You're
very much.
Oh,
happy
you're welcome,
Easter, honey.
Thank you so much, sweetie. It's really cool having you here.
Thank you so much. I'm truly honored.
Oh, that's nice. Thank you. So, gosh, it's sort of hard. Where do I start with you? I'm kind of looking through your list of everything you've done. I almost call you a Renaissance woman because you've done. Okay, you've done a radio show, kind of like me, and then also you've been on a roller derby, you've been a part of a roller derby team, and then you've also acted. Now, that's kind of really, all of those points are really far removed from each other. So let's start a little bit with how you got started with Hollywood.
With Hollywood?
Yes.
Well, when I was a little girl, 18 months old, basically, my sister Cheryl was in the business already, and he was going for an audition that day at 20th Century Fox, I think it was.
Mm-hmm.
And normally we had somebody to take care of us, but that day that person wasn't available. So my mother had to take me with her and my sister Cheryl.
Yeah.
The role was to play Sally Lawrence in The Voice of Charlie Pont, starring Robert Redford and Diana Hyland. So my mother gets to the place, and she asks the secretary to watch me while my sister was in the adjacent room, basically, auditioning in front of the producers and directors. And the lady said, "No problem, Mrs. Locke, I'll take care of her. Don't even worry about it." So my sister and my mother went into the room, which is just right there, basically. Well, she didn't know this, but the secretary left for a few seconds to get a cup of coffee real quick, left me unattended. I knew where my mother was. I had to go to the little girl's room. So I opened up the door, and it hit one of the producers or directors. I don't remember what my mother told me. And I walked in, and I said, "Mommy, potty. Mommy, potty." And the producers and directors looked at me. Then they looked at my sister. Then they looked at me and my sister, and they said, "We want her, not her."
Oh, no. Oh, your poor sister.
Actually, my sister was happy because she was, I believe, almost five, and they wanted her to play a younger little girl, and she wasn't into that because she was a big girl by then.
Oh, 5 years old, you're practically middle-aged. Yes,
exactly.
I know.
Exactly. So my sister actually was quite happy that it worked out that way. So that's how I got started, and my very first father in this whole wide world on television was Robert Redford.
Oh, God. Nobody can really claim that, you know. My dad was Robert Redford, you know. Oh, really?
It was pretty awesome. And the neat thing is I just went to the Paley Museum the other day and watched it for the very first time.
Oh, you did? You had never seen it?
I did. I never saw it. I didn't even know where to find it. And you have to go in and watch it on a computer.
Yeah.
And it was just really wonderful watching that actual episode. It was part of the Alcoa Hour with Fred Astaire.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah.
That seems like that would have been kind of a hard thing to find. You wouldn't be able to find it on YouTube, I'm assuming.
It's not on YouTube. Yeah. I've looked over and over again, basically.
Oh, gosh. Yeah. As a part of, I imagine, the studio's bank of things, I imagine that may not have even been released publicly. I'm just wondering about that. So.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I know that the Alcoa Hour, they've got quite a few episodes out there, so I'm not quite sure why they don't have the voice of Charlie Pont.
Oh, that's too bad. See, I've never heard of the film, so that was... So,
but... Yeah, Bill Bixby was in it as well, a lot of other great stars. So it was a good little show. I watched it. I really enjoyed it. I took a friend with me, Carol.
Mm-hmm.
She's also an actress, and we both went and we put the headphones on, sat there and watched it. And I had this little tiny part. It was so cute, where I was in a pool, and I was playing in front of my mother and father, and I put the water over my head, and it was pretty awesome. Just seeing it for the very first time after. 50-something years, so.
Well, and I keep wondering it would have been like literally sort of the luck of the draw, whether they're looking at your sister and looking at you and then they choose you. It's sort of a moment in time that you sort of fated, that things could have gone the other way just as easily.
Exactly.
And it sort of set you up for the next, I don't know, how many years. So
it sure did.
It did. Boy,
I was
you.
In the movie business until I was about 9 or 10, I believe, is when we left.
That's right, yes.
Yeah.
There's a lot more to cover between now and then, too. So, particularly the show that starts with M, Manoz. Oh, gosh. Well, listen, we've got to take a break already. Darn it, I don't want to, but I want to come back and talk a little bit more about your background. And then probably in the third segment today, we're going to do your chart. We're going to have fun with that. So
looking forward to it.
Yay. So we're going to be right back with our guest Tammy Locke in just a couple of minutes. This is KKNW Alternative Talk Radio, and this is Jupiter Rising.
I'm Kelly Clarkson, and I've toured the country dozens of times, and there's one thing every state has in common: childhood hunger. The sad truth is that 17 million kids don't know where their next meal is coming from, or if it's even coming at all. Yet there are billions of pounds of surplus food around the country at farms and warehouses that could help end this injustice. But all that food is useless if it doesn't get where it needs to go. That's why the Feeding America nationwide network of food banks gathers surplus food and gets it to hungry kids before it goes to waste. But they can't do it without your help. Join me in supporting Feeding America and your local food bank. Find out how at feedingamerica.org. Together we can solve hunger. Together we're Feeding America.
To help solve hunger in your community and to find your local food bank, visit feedingamerica.org. That's feedingamerica.org. Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
I'm Gary Mance.
I'm Suzanne Mitchell.
We're a couple of baby boomers who bring you a talk radio mix of metaphysics and music, politics, and pop culture.
And you never know which celebrity will join us for an interesting conversation.
Mance and Mitchell is Boomer HQ, Friday and Saturday mornings at 10 on 1150 AM KKNW.
Your home for alternative talk in Seattle and Western Washington.
You're listening to Alternative Talk, 1150 AM.
And we're back. And the music, what that music means, it's time for Astro News of the Week. Okay, we had an eclipse this Wednesday on the 23rd. I believe it was 2 days before we had the terrorism event in Belgium. And, I kind of was sitting around waiting for the other shoe to drop. One was waiting for this particular event happened. And I remembered in the back of my head that this is a lunar eclipse, which has to do with you have one the sun in one point and the moon in the opposite point, and that's 180 degrees. And 180 degrees generally means that's a Libra aspect, because you see, you have the first sign and you have the seventh sign, and there's 180 degrees between those two points. So 180 degrees generally means it has to do with relationships. You know, one person standing on one side and the other person standing on the opposite side. And usually with a full moon eclipse, you have the interesting dilemma of having one person on one side and the other person on the other side, and they may argue, they do that kind of thing, and then they usually resolve the conflict. So that has to do with perspective. The full moon eclipse is pretty dynamic, and with an eclipse added to it, you have a 50 times the normal rate of the lunar Earth, the lunar or solar, excuse me, what am I saying here? Okay, it's the lunar eclipse having to do with a full moon, and it intensifies the full moon quite a bit. So the interesting thing was that I did a little history on Belgium, and it evidently there is 14 or so principalities in Belgium that all have separate governments. I thought, how do they get anything done? You know, it's sort of like the right hand doesn't know what the left hand is doing. Well, it's just like that in Belgium. They have a principality doing whatever they're doing, and the next door principality has no idea what's going on with that principality. So it seems to me, in a funny sort of way, that that would be sort of a full moon thing, because you have to have, in order to have a good working relationship with people, you have to voice two sides of the same coin, the polar opposite. Now, if there are 14 or 15 points of view, there's a kind of a log jam taking place within that country. And I was hearing said that possibly it may have something to do, this particular event may spur on it a little bit of a reformation of their government so that they all work under one hat. And I think that would be an extremely good idea, because otherwise the country will feel like it's log-jammed. So I just find it interesting, because every time there is an eclipse and something major happens, something comes out of that eclipse that changes the history of whatever country an event happens in, or happens to be the whole world. So this particular terrorism act will probably end up being a very major aspect or a major influence in world history, although we can't see it yet. It's still kind of happening over there. But I wish and Godspeed it to everybody in Belgium so that they can get their stuff together and move forward again. So, okay. And that's a little bit of a serious note, but I thought it would be something to address. So let's go back to Tammy. Tammy, you're there.
Yes, I am.
Hi. Sorry, I had to divert myself there a moment. So
yeah, it's so sad.
Yes.
So sad what happened.
Well, it is. And I just thought, well, it would happen during an eclipse. Do you know that the Gulf War happened on an eclipse? So it just seemed kind of interesting that major historic events seem to happen right around those times. So anyway, so let's get back to you. All right. So in your acting career, now you did a movie with Anne Margaret. I want to hear about this. You know, and what was the name of that movie?
That was called Once a Thief with Anne Margaret, Alain Delon, and Jack Palance.
That's quite a cast.
Yes, it was.
Yes. And how old were you when you made that?
I believe I was 6 years old.
6 years old. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I was her daughter.
Okay.
And Alain Delon was my father. And if you go to my website, tammylock.com,
yeah,
you'll find different tabs of the different productions that I was in. And on some of them, I have little video clips of me acting in that particular production.
I noticed that. I went through your website yesterday. I said, oh my gosh, there's so much stuff to watch.
Well, I did it. I created my website because a lot of the fans kept asking me for it. They asked Paul Peterson for years, kept trying to convince me to do autograph shows for the fans.
Right.
Finally, I said, okay.
Mm-hmm.
And then all of a sudden when the fans, you know, came up to me and they were getting my autograph, they would say, do you have a website? And they would reference somebody else. Well, everybody else has one. Why don't you?
Yes.
So I created it. I built the whole thing. Now I'm going to have to change it. Update it a little bit.
A well-done website. It's well laid out. It's easy to move around. So.
Thank you.
And you created it yourself. That's pretty darn good.
I did it myself. I did it in 7 days. I didn't sleep at all. If I slept, it was only for an hour, because once I start on a project, I kick in this certain type of an energy that just drives it.
Yes.
So I couldn't stop thinking about it until it was finished. So I just did it in 7 days, and then over the years, I've just added on to it.
It's nice to have control over your website, your own website, rather than having a webmaster do it. Because
I totally agree.
Yeah, because I did mine in 2 weeks, but I was like you. I didn't sleep either. I just had to get it done. I kept changing it, futzing with it and everything else until it laid out just exactly the way. I had to map it out before I did it, too. The pull-down menus and all that kind of stuff. And that
mine was created on the hit and miss program. Okay, that looks good.
Okay that works.
Good.
All right, that doesn't work. Let's take that out. Okay. Yeah, I know the feeling, but it was one of the most satisfying things I ever did, you know, to build my own site. And I would imagine it was for you, too. You're a Virgo, for God's sake. You
Amen.
Know.
Yes. Perfectionist, as one would
That's
say.
That's right. That's for sure. Yeah, so, okay, like for the next 10 minutes, I want to talk a little bit about the Monroes. You know, I have to tell you the story of how I sent you that picture of me sitting on this little stool watching it when I was 12 years old.
What a wonderful little picture.
I know, and you would never know it by looking at the TV set. It was blurred, but I remember my mother taking a picture of me like that. And every Friday, this was when it was in repeat, it was on Channel 12, KVOS, and it was at 5:30 every Friday. And I used to come home every Friday from school and settle down in front of the TV and get ready to watch it, because I just loved the show. And this is so weird to be talking to somebody who was on the show and I'm telling them about this. But I, for the longest time, I remember looking to try to find, this is before VHS or anything came out where you could get copies of this stuff. I actually thought about contacting this studio to get a copy of the darn shows, all 26 episodes, you know. And then finally, a couple, 3-4 years ago, I found somebody online who had them all on DVD, and I got them, you know, and 23 out of 26, which wasn't bad. But it's just, when I rewatched them, they had not lost their luster in how many years? This is this 50-year anniversary.
I know.
Oh, my God.
I've got 23 out of the 26 as well.
That's fabulous. Yeah, it was in 1966 that the show debuted.
Correct.
Yes. And so how did you get that gig? I'm curious about that. And, you know, the way they filmed it in the Grand Tetons in Wyoming.
Right.
It was just incredible.
On the Snake River. Yeah.
Incredible.
Well, the head guy at 20th Century Fox apparently watched me on Once a Thief.
Oh, okay.
And so he called my mother and said, I'd like to get an interview with you and Tammy. So we went down there, and we walked into the secretary's office, and the gentleman came out of his office and came and walked up to my mother, and I zoomed right past. And I went.
You're
into
so precocious. I swear. That last story you were telling me.
I'm a take-em-charge kind of girl. I can't help it.
I know. I forgot to ask you, because you told me this story about the last one where you actually plopped yourself down in the director's chair. That's this one. Oh,
that's
I'm sorry. I just jumped ahead. Okay, sorry. I'll butt up now. Go ahead.
Okay. So I basically charged past, and I went into his beautiful, gorgeous, huge office, and he had this beautiful desk, and I jumped up on his chair, and I leaned back, and I put my feet up on his desk, and I grabbed his telephone, and my mom said, oh, boy, my daughter just ran past. She's in your office. I think we should go in there. And she goes, by the way, you know, sir, it was so nice to meet you. Thank you for, you know, calling us. And so they walked in, and there I was. Kicking back with my feet crossed on his desk. I was on the phone as if I was having a conversation with somebody. And he looks at my mother and he looks at me and he says, you know, Mrs. Locke, if she's that gutsy, She just landed the part of Amy Monroe in the TV series The Monroes.
It's you know what's amazing about that is that you probably had no idea what you were doing.
Exactly. I didn't.
You just kind of went by, pardon the expression, seat of your pants.
Yes, and, I did. Fly by the seat of my pants type of girl.
Yes. And you ran in there, plopped yourself up, though you were the actual director, and you're, you know, entertaining phone calls from all your clients. And, you know, and how are you to know that that particular quality that you showed in that moment when you were sitting at his desk was this kind of this gutsy kind of, you know, take advantage, get quite arrogant about stuff. How did you know that that was the nature of the character that you were going to be cast for? You
know? Honestly, I didn't know.
No.
I actually created the character of Amy Monroe. They wrote it, but I created her, apparently.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
With my personality. I've always been a big personality. I always have.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I had it back then, and that's how I created Amy Monroe. She was me.
Oh, she was astounding in the show. I mean, you were just so you weren't afraid of anybody.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, the nice thing was that Rance Howard, which is Ron Howard, father, was my acting coach.
Oh, that's amazing.
So that was just wonderful. I grew up with Ronnie and Clint and Butch Patrick from the Munsters. He played Eddie.
Yes.
Darby Hinton from Daniel Boone. He played Israel. Billy Mumy. He played Will Robinson on Lost in Space. I had all the best kid friends back then.
That's fabulous.
Kay Lenz. I mean, just everybody under the sun back then. My sister Lorna took driving lessons with Kurt Russell.
On the back lot
of 20th Century Fox.
Oh, my God. Yeah, I mean, you're fully indoctrinated in the Hollywood community there.
It was a wonderful time. I loved it. Absolutely loved it.
I was thinking about Rance Howard. I remember seeing him in Independence Day, and he played the minister that married Will Smith and Vivica Fox.
Wonderful, wonderful show.
I always watch the voiceovers or the commentary on the DVDs because I like to know what happened behind the scenes. And the guy mentions, "Oh, that's Rance Howard. That's Ron Howard's son or father." And I thought, God, he seemed like such a gentle human being just from the part he was playing.
He was extremely gentle. He was so nice. And he always treated me like a daughter.
Oh, that's great.
And that's how he basically, you know, taught me the business. But he was a no-nonsense type of guy, too. When he spoke, you had to listen to him, and you had to do exactly what he said.
That's amazing. That's really amazing. Okay, so here we're going to take a side trip over to... see, is there any more questions I want to ask about the Monroes? I remember that out of meeting you on Facebook, I also met Jim Westmoreland. And
he's my honey.
Oh,
I love him.
Oh, he was really nice. You know, he used to call... I remember he called me. We were going to actually do some sort of business together. He called me on the phone, and we just struck up a conversation, and he would call me every single day.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And
he's very passionate.
Yeah. And,
yeah,
and
passionate.
I was on a vacation once, and he called me every day at the same time. So, how you doing, kid? You know, and I said, fine. You know, it was kind of a surprise. And, you know, I thought he was just a really nice guy. And
he certainly is. And he still instructs golf to this day in La Quinta.
Oh, he does?
So, yeah, he lives in La Quinta, and he teaches golf.
Okay.
And professional golf, basically.
Yeah.
That's what he does.
I remember it because I just thought he was so gorgeous in that show.
He still is.
God.
He still is. I don't think he'll ever turn ugly.
Well, thank God for that. You know,
yes.
I've seen pictures of him, and he looks very well preserved for his age.
Oh, he keeps himself completely fit. He's on a regimen of everything wonderful.
Oh, that's fabulous.
Yeah, he's just amazing. Absolutely amazing.
I remember seeing him on the Monroes and what a good... And then he got cut out of the show halfway through, and I was so disappointed. And I really thought, well... You know, and then finding him on Facebook, I said, oh, my God, it's Jim Westmoreland. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. You know, talk about having a fan attack. That's what I had.
Well, you know, they canceled the show because there was a bidding war, I guess it was, at the time.
Yeah.
We knew that we were number one in the slots and people wanted more money, so they offered James Westmoreland to be the star of the show. And they were going to write it to where he ends up marrying Kathy, and we would have gone on.
Yes, yes.
But unfortunately, he turned it down at the time, and till today, he tells me he wishes he would have accepted that offer.
That would have definitely been a change in his whole life.
Yes,
it would have been.
It truly would have.
Yeah. I remember talking to him about that, because that was one of the first questions. Because we talked in an instant message for a while, and he says, well, why don't I talk to you on the phone? And that was the first question I asked him. Why were you cut out of the show? I was so upset for how many more years? 45 years later, I was still upset, you know. And so I couldn't believe it. And he told me the story. I just thought it was kind of weird. But he seemed to steal the scenes he was in, I noticed. You know, he would have been very good. And
oh, he would have been fantastic. And then to marry Barbara.
Yes.
That would have been, you know.
There was a lot of chemistry between those two. Oh, there was, oh, God, I'm reminiscing way too much here. Oh, this brings back memories. Oh, it's wonderful for you to fill in all the blanks for me, too. I really appreciate it.
Well, you know, the chemistry was between James Westmoreland and James Brolin, so for Kathy.
Oh, yes,
remember?
Yes.
Yeah, there was chemistry between all three of them.
There was a whole lot of people on that show that went on to be really huge stars.
Yes, there was. We had pretty much everybody under the sun.
Yeah, you did. And also, there's just a whole lot of people today that are that remember the show with a great deal of fondness, and they kind of keep it into their heart, you know, because that's how I've always felt about it. It just reminded me of home and peace and family and all of that, and how wonderful it was that they all shared such a wonderful bond. So it was a really almost an iconic show to me.
Exactly. And you know, being on Facebook, there is a Monroe's TV show, closed group, basically, and everybody, you know, the fans write me from all over the world, Japan, Australia.
That's amazing.
New Zealand, and everybody wants that show to come back, and I just don't understand. Everybody else has had a reunion show, and I don't understand why someone or TV Land doesn't bring, a reunion show. It doesn't make any sense.
It doesn't make any sense to me either, you know, because this was a show that could have gone on many years.
Exactly.
Because it was wholesome. It was. It embodied so many iconic sort of themes that are indigenous to every human being on the planet.
That's right.
And I just thought it was amazing how it touched so many people. And I was going to mention that group, and I was going to actually ask you before the show started if we could mention the group, the Monroe's group on Facebook.
Absolutely. Anybody wants to get in touch with me and just go into a closed group that now it's only there to remember the Monroe's.
Yes.
So people aren't allowed to talk about any other shows.
That's right.
It's just to honor the Monroe's memory, and that's what that group's for.
That's right. And I wasn't one of the first members, but I was up there, you know, and I said, oh, yes, please get me in that group.
There's a lot of people that post personal photos of theirs.
Yes.
Of the Monroe's and their memories of it, or maybe their news clippings back then.
Right.
Or their something that they bought as a photo back then. And
right.
It's a wonderful place to, you know, to honor and
it was,
and remember the Monroe.
And just
because
just
it was, in fact, a good show.
It was.
Regardless that I was on it. Regardless. It was just a show.
Well, you were great. You were really one of the contributing members that kind of solidified the whole meat of the family. You were really
That's
a big part of
I've
it.
I've been told quite a few times.
Yeah, and you definitely had a personality that stood out, you know.
Yeah.
And I just want to make mention, by the way, the show, The Monroe's, was in 1966 to 1967, one season. It had some very good stars in it. Barbara Hershey was the female lead. She played Kathy. And then Michael Anderson Jr. played Clate. And we had the two twin boys, and we had Amy. And Amy was played, of course, by Tammy Locke.
And Ron Sobel.
And Ron Sobel, of course. Camp. Yeah, played, and he was wonderful, too. It was fantastic.
Yeah, Liam Sullivan, who played Major McCoy. And that was the key actor.
Those are the key people. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, he was very dignified, Liam Sullivan. Wow.
Yeah.
He was a real powerful, iconic man, too. So
yes, he was.
Yes. Okay, so what we're going to do is we're going to take another quick break. And when we come back, we're going to do your chart. Okay, and so we're going to do one little brief thing before we go into that, but as soon as we get back, we'll talk about Tammy Locke's chart. This is KKNW Alternative Talk Radio, and this is the Jupiter Rising Show, and I'm Eileen Grimes.
This is Martha Norwalk. Every Sunday morning, beginning at 9 a.m., thanks in part to Dr. Nels Rasmussen at NelsHealingMinistry.com, we cover the world of animals. This Sunday, April 3rd, it's Shelter, Rescue, Sanctuary, and anything that helps our animal friends Sunday. We'll have a great lineup of interviews with several local shelters, lots of good news about animals, some special features, and an update from the Ananda Institute of Living Yoga. Join us for Martha Norwalk's Animal World, Sunday morning, 9 a.m. to noon, right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150.
Earthly Oasis is a sanctuary of wellness and health, owned and operated by medium Cass and Adam Huff, and is located in Tacoma, Washington. We bring you a wonderful gift shop, full-service center with holistic practitioners and gifted psychics. We also feature special classes on empowerment, including Cass's Life Coach Certification, Reiki Training, Psychic Mediumship Courses, and Empowerment Weekend Workshops. Our gifted staff includes Cass Huff, psychic medium, animal communicator, and psychic investigator, Frances Allman, Native American astrologer and psychic medium, and Mila Umfleet-Delask, a gifted psychic medium. They are available at the center Monday through Saturday and by appointment. Call 253-212-9956 for more information about us and to schedule an appointment with our staff, or visit us online at earthlyoasis.com.
1150KKNW.com, your connection to Alternative Talk, 1150 AM.
And welcome back to the Jupiter Rising Show. And I just want to make mention that on Wednesday evenings, that is every Wednesday, we have a thing called Ask a Psychic that's out in the Spanaway area. And it's at the Denny's right in Spanaway. And the address is 20420 Pacific Avenue. Everything's on Pacific Avenue, actually. And so we're meeting at 7 o'clock. We get there at about 5:30 and just kind of talk and eat at Denny's, of course. And at 7 o'clock, we have a program, and then we have little mini readings for people who want those. And that's fun. And it goes to from about 5:30 till about 8 o'clock p.m. So if you're out and about in that area on Wednesday night, drop in and say hello to us, because we would love to see you there. That's Ask a Psychic, and that is produced by Earthly Oasis and also is run by Cass Huff. So there we go. All right, Ms. Tammy, are you ready?
Yes, I'm ready. Oh. I think I was born ready, Miss Eileen.
Oh, you were? Well, that's just fine. I think we could do this.
I think I can.
Okay.
I'll sit here and be quiet while you just tell me all the goodness.
Yes, we're going to talk here about some astrology. So
I'm ready. Take off.
Yeah,
just
y'all.
Go ahead and do it.
Oh, God, you're getting me off on a tangent here. So, okay, so we're going to talk a little bit about, I actually have done a reading for her before, but she told me she wanted me to do this, so I'm going to. Oh, right. So she is a Virgo. She was born, in case you guys want her birth date so you can send her birthday cards, it's September 19th, folks. That's Tammy Locke's birthday. And, you know, put that on your calendar somewhere, you know, and send her a birthday card. Or friend her on Facebook. She's Tammy Locke on Facebook. Okay, so she was born on September 19th, and she was born at approximately 11:55 p.m. and then in Hawthorne, California. Those are the three pieces of information, by the way, that we need to construct an astrological chart. So she had all three of those, and we did it. So she has Sun in Virgo at 26 degrees. She has Cancer rising, and she has Taurus moon. So she has two out of the three of her main things, her primal triad, we call it, the Sun, Moon, and rising in Earth signs. And Earth signs are earthy, pretty much is fairly self-descriptive. You know, one of the things, Tammy, that I look at before I look at anything is the balance, the breakdown of elements in your chart, because there's earth, fire, air, and water. And right. Each sign has an applicable element sign. So, you know, Virgo and Taurus happen to both be earth signs. And so earth is physical reality as we know it. And it's not... You know, I'll kind of explain a little bit about the elements since I got off on that tangent. I never know where I'm going to end up here. I never know. So Earth is the physical, tangible reality that we experience. You know, sort of you're sitting here at a table, and the table is a physical reality. You know, this microphone in front of my face is a reality. and so what happens to be, you know, a reality for you is what you see, feel, touch, taste, and smell.
Exactly.
Yeah. So, and so we have that, and you have quite a lot of Earth. Let's see. We have 10 planets in the chart. I'm going to count them. Got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 Earth planets out of 10. That's half your life. So what that means is when you're thinking about instead of water sign, which is intuitive, air sign, which is in your brain, and fire sign, which is passion and enthusiasm, you're probably figuring out exactly the physical realities of your life. And that has a lot to do with, will I have enough money to pay for this? Or?
Not.
Not.
In my case, not.
Not. And you know, when I look in the mirror, what do I see? Okay. And it's sort of like, you know, what your living room looks like, how it's decorated. It sort of has to do with everything that you see in the physical universe around you. That's your orientation. That's 50% of your chart, you see. And so other times you think about other stuff, but most of the time you're trying to figure out exactly what your reality principle is. So whatever's real at the moment to you in a physical reality is where you can kind of set your foot.
Right.
Yes. Does that sound right?
Yeah, I just want to know if I'm going to win the lottery.
Oh, that's a reality, too. That's your Taurus moon talking. Now, Taurus is an interesting sign because it's primarily dealing with the physical reality of your body, also the reality of your financial situation, but also has a lot to do with how you value yourself. You know, what are the substantive things that you have in your life that you can count on in yourself? And so it's in the what we call the 11th house. So this has a lot to do with female friends because the moon is feminine, obviously, and it has to do with feelings, how you feel about something, what you need to feel secure and stable. And you have the 11th house moon, meaning that you have a lot of friends that give you stability and they give you a lot of energy. Does that sound right?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. You just agree to everything I say. We'll be fine.
Okay. I'm going to agree to everything you said. Yeah.
Okay. So, and the other thing which is really interesting to me is that I'm throwing a lot of different astrology principles here into this because this is for the listeners as well as for your benefit too, is that you have what we call a bucket chart. Now, a bucket chart has, you can sort of see it, that there's a moon on one side and the rest of the planets are on the opposite side of your chart. So that bucket, the handle of the bucket, which is the moon, kind of governs everything else that you do, like what you feel, what you know, what your physical reality actually is. And so that also has to do with, quite frankly, the 11th house is interesting. The one at the end has a lot to do with humanitarianism, has it to do with, again, it's friendships, but it's also where you give back. So I think you've done some benefits for some people, right?
Yes, I do a lot of I try to do a lot of wonderful things for people. I've found them millions of dollars.
Yes, you know, see, and that's, oh, this is cool, because it just made the connection. You were telling me the story the other day about getting money for people. You know, there are different phone numbers you can call for different states that have money that have been left. You say, I had that once. I called it up, and it says, maybe you have money. And I called it up or found out that I had, like, about $200 from a refund from the phone company, which I had no idea was there.
Exactly.
Yeah, and so you what you do is that you go and put in a name and find out if they have money, and then you find out where they are, and you contact them and say, you've got money. And then, you know, and like that one person you told me, it was incredible. I want to hear that story. I want to hear that story again.
Well, I was looking for a friend of mine, and I had typed in their name, and then I noticed a man and a woman, basically, with the same name. And there was pages and pages. Now, on this website, on California State Controller's Office, each claim, there's like 20 or 30 claims on each page. They had page after page after page after page. I'm like, oh, my goodness. They've got tons of money. I just opened up a couple of them, and it was hundreds of thousands of dollars.
Oh,
so what I did was I had Googled their name, and I noticed that they were dead. But they had just had, I found the obituary of the mother that just died, basically. And the obituary usually carries all of the information that you need to find this person, the sibling's name. So I ended up finding the sibling, the daughter, and I called. And what I do is I don't tell people, I don't want anything. To give is not to receive. That's what I've always
That's your 11th house.
Ever since, yes. I do not want anything in return. Except for the excitement that I get from either cries or screaming excitement or whatever it is. But anyways, I left a voicemail. I said, hi, my name's Tammy. I didn't even say Tammy Law. I said, I just wanted to let you know that I usually find, you know, money that people don't know that's out there. I said, and you, your mother and father, I'm so sorry for their loss. I said, but you guys have a lot of money, and it's all due to you guys. Meaning it all belongs to you. All you have to do is call the state of California and collect it. That's all you have to do. I said, so, and I gave them the website, and I hung up. I said, and I said, you know, enjoy. I hope I brought some joy and happiness into your lives. So I hung up, and like a couple of days later, I got this phone call, and I answered the phone, and the young lady goes, hi, is this Tammy? And I said, yeah. She goes, Tammy, you left a voicemail on my voice machine. She goes, and you just found us a lot of money. I said, how did you find me? She goes, well, I have call return.
Oh, yes, the caller star 69 type of thing.
Yeah. And I forgot all about that. I said, you know, I do that out of the goodness of my heart. I don't want anything in return. I just bring joy to people.
That's fabulous.
And I've been doing that now for 30 years.
It's incredible. I mean,
I found $172,000 for Dr. Oral Roberts.
Oh, my
Pastor
God.
Pastor Oral Roberts, Reverend Pastor Oral Roberts. $172,000, found him some money, and girl from mine, $5,000. I mean, I have found probably millions. And
yes.
I don't want anything in return except for the excitement to know that I did something good for somebody.
That, you know, that is the amazing thing about, you know, I think your story is so fantastic, but it's an amazing thing, too, about astrology, that it shows, you know, a moon in the 11th house in Taurus. Well, that is exactly, you told the story of the moon in the 11th house. First of all, you found money for people that were, you know, and you don't want anything from it. It's a humanitarian thing that you did.
Yeah.
And that's the 11th house. The moon is your emotional nature, and Taurus is the money, you know, and it's what it basically turns you on. I mean, it flips your switch on, all your switches on internally.
It makes me alive. And she was crying. She was screaming. She was so excited. She says, I've got to call and tell my, you know, my other siblings, basically.
That's just amazing. It's fabulous.
She was just so excited, and I'm so glad that I facilitated that for her.
Yes, it's amazing. And just one more thing about your chart before we go on. I remember when we had the talk several months ago, I think it was probably about a year ago, about your chart, And I said, one of the major things in your chart is that you're here to be a mother to people. You know, you're a mother to your children, but you're a mother to everybody else around you. And that tells me, because wherever the moon is, that's telling me where that outlet is going to take place, where you're going to be, you know, a mother of society or mother and something else. So, you know, you kind of did that. You're trying to help everybody around you, and it, you don't want anything from it. That's just
exactly.
Amazing. It's amazing. So listen, honey, how do we get a hold of you to be a part of the Monroe's page or on Facebook and all that kind of stuff? How do we get a hold of you?
Facebook, it's under TammyLocke. You can also get a hold of me through my website, Tammy at TammyLocke.com.
Mm-hmm.
My email address is Tammy@TammyLocke.com. And it's got everything you need just to get a hold of me. And I welcome anyone that wants to send me memories of the Monroes, or maybe once a thief, or anything that they saw me in. I was also in Hang'em High with Clint Eastwood. Or if you were a fan of professional roller derby on TV, I was number 22 Detroit Devil. I was also a country singing headliner.
And a radio show talk host.
And a radio talk show host. And
yes.
I toured with the band, the road band from the famous Tex Williams band. So, I mean, I've done a lot of things. I'm an inventor as well. I've got a couple of inventions that I created with Northrop Corporation. And
that's amazing.
You know, my father always taught us that can't got stuck in the mud and it's still there. And
right.
That means that I can do anything if I choose to.
Okay. Well, thank you, Tammy, so much for everything. Thanks for being on my show today.
I love you, Eileen.
I love you, too. Take care.
All right. Okay. Honored.
Bye-bye. Okay. This is the last part of it. We got a little couple minute, about a minute left, less than that even. You can reach me at EileenGrimes.com or TheJupiterRisingShow.com, and my email address is TitanicAstrology.com. We will see you next week on the Jupiter Rising Show with a guest, Freddie Coleman. It's Jupiter Rising, 1150.